Mehmet'im yaşa üreyi. O beni unuttum, ben unutmadım. Yaşa Mehmet'im yaşa üreyi. O seni unuttu, sen unutmadın. Yaşa Mehmet'im yaşa üreyi. Seni unuttum, sen unutmadın. Yaşa mehabbetim, yaşa.
The 2013 World Roots Academy is launched, and in spectacular style with our new mentor, Gochak Askarov, and his group. Gochak just sang Muram Bayati Shiraz. Thanks very much to the musicians. They flew all the way here from Baku in Azerbaijan to be with us this evening. Thanks also to PJ Harvey for making the announcement, to our previous mentee, Jose Hernando, and to Roberto Pla with his Latin ensemble for providing some wonderful music. Good luck to our new protege, Fidan Hajieva, and look out for all our World Roots Academy programs throughout 2013. But for now, good night from the BBC Radio Theatre in London.
Well, Roots was presented by Lucy Duran and produced by James Parkin. As ever, you'll be able to listen again to that programme for the next 7 days via the Radio 3 website, and that's also where you should head for further coverage of the World Roots Academy. Well, we start a new week of Composer of the Week tomorrow at 12 midday. Donald MacLeod is exploring the life and work of Anton Bruckner each weekday at 12, with 12 midday with a repeat at 6:30 in the evening. That's here on BBC Radio 3, 90 to 93 FM, on digital radio and online. It's just after 11 now. Time for Jazz Lineup with Julian Joseph.
Hello. Last November, I was delighted to introduce and interview the legendary pianist and composer Chick Corea. In his stellar trio are bassist extraordinaire Christian McBride and the effervescent and soulful Brian Blade on drums. I was anticipating a trio with the depth of some of Chick's most important partnerships, and it didn't disappoint, as now both McBride and Blade are two of the finest contemporary jazz musicians with a long association of working together, dating back to the very first incarnation of Joshua Redman's group. They've both gone on to have illustrious careers, leading bands of their own and working with the likes of Sting, Oscar Peterson and Herbie Hancock, in the case of Christian, and Joni Mitchell, Ellis Marsalis and Wayne Shorter, in Brian's case. Chick's pristine clarity and soulfulness, paired with these sensitive and imaginative two, was a perfect match, which I'm happy to say was captured in all their glory. The concert took place at the Barbican Hall on Saturday the 17th of November as part of the 2012 London Jazz Festival, and they began with the Irving Berlin classic How Deep Is the Ocean, and pay particular attention to the interaction between the three, particularly in the bass solo. Chick opened the next composition with a lyrical piano introduction, setting up an original piece in 3-4 called Royalty.
Thank you.
He then continued with his classic Latin original called Armando's Rumba. He opens it up with a double octave invention that he gradually colours until he brings in the rhythm. Then we're in rumba territory. They work it up and Blade gets a chance to converse Latin style with the master pianist.
Thank you.
You're listening to Chick Corea in Concert with Christian McBride on bass and Brian Blade on the drums. A combined ethereal invention sees McBride on the bow and Blade in percussive sounds surrounding Chick's tremolos, emerging into the single note exchange between Chick and Christian. They eventually swing out into a piece they call Pledge for Peace, soloing on changes reminiscent of Part 2 of Quartet No. 2 from Chick's Three Quartet Suite, the portion dedicated to John Coltrane. Christian then conjures a bowed interlude into the trio's conclusion of the piece. Pledge for Peace. played For Peace by Chick Corea. Chick was on piano, Christian McBride bass, and Brian Blade drums at last year's London Jazz Festival. We'll return to the concert shortly. Whilst Chick was finalising his rehearsal, I managed to get a few words with him and started by asking him about his time with pioneer band leader and trumpeter Miles Davis.
It made a big impact on me. I followed Miles's career from 1947, mm-hmm. when he was a young man playing on the Dial record label, 78s that my dad had with Charlie Parker. Mm-hmm. And then Miles's first record on his own came out in 51. Called Dig, and ever since then I just followed everything he did and all the great musicians and music that went through his bands. So when I got with him and to be in the band in 1968, it was of course a big thrill, and being with him kind of validated the things I felt were right about music and about being an artist, because he demonstrated them. He demonstrated them by always following what he really wanted to do, not asking the environment for a license to do something. Mm-hmm. Like, is this okay, or maybe I should check with the record company. Or that he was a man of vision who had the courage to change what he wanted to do and just pursue it. And when I was in the band, his music was in a great... those 3 years was in a great flux. He was changing from what he had going with the great band with Herbie Hancock and Ron Carter and Wayne and Tony, to what he finally ended up with after Bitches Brew with his music of the 80s and 90s, you know. So it was a fantastic experience.
And that was also a template for you to then start forging in the same way, because I would say that's very much the inspiration you bring. You don't need a license to decide to go whichever direction you want to, and you've stayed true to that. And not only have you stayed true to that, but you've stayed immensely creative for the entire span of your career. How have you managed to do that?
Early on, I saw the how good it felt to be able to realize what I love to do, and to also to gently be able to say no to offers to do what I didn't want to do.
Right. Okay.
Like my first recording, I was with Tones for Jones Bones in 1965. I was working in Herbie Mann's band, mm-hmm. and Herbie had just formed a label called Vortex through Atlantic. They gave him some funding, I guess, and he was recording musicians that he knew. So I was in his band, and he asked me to make a record. Right. And I thought, wow, great, yeah, I've been working on this music, Herbie. He said, yeah, but I'd like you to use some conga and some timbali here, so that to give it a, you know. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, Herbie, you know, it's not really what I've been working on. I've been working on this other stuff here. It's really what I want to do. So I kind of turned him down gently.
Right.
But he kept coming back and say, well, what about one conga? Right. You know? Anyway, I must have turned him down at least 3 times until finally he said, look, Chick, okay, go in the studio and do your thing. Mm-hmm. And I did. And at that point, it felt so fulfilling to do that I never wanted to have some producer or someone else kind of tell me
what to do,
what I should do. Right. So I grew up that way, and I stayed that way.
One of the latest releases, in fact, you've released several albums this year, the duet with Gary Burton, an excellent recording. You released The Continents, and you've released...
Further Explorations.
Further
with
Explorations
Eddie and
with
Paul.
The trio, yep. And also The Mothership Returns, which is the Return to Forever group playing live. And which sounds really, it's hard for me not to say amazing to everything, because, you know, I'm a huge fan of yours and you're a massive inspiration to me and many others, as I know, so forgive me for using the word amazing too much, okay? So, Return to Forever, it sort of started out with Flora Purim and Aieto and melded into the band with Lenny White and... I mean, Stanley Clarke was there in the beginning. What was going through your creative mind when you were putting together Return to Forever?
Well, I had come through playing a lot of different ways. The band just before Return to Forever was a freeform band with That's Dave right. Holland, Circle.
And
I
Anthony
loved
Braxton.
And Anthony Braxton and Barry Altschul. Yeah. And I loved it. But I had this desire to want to have my music reach a lot of different kind of people, because I noticed the audiences were pretty select that we were playing to. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to put rhythm in, real groove and rhythm into my songs and music. And that was the basic idea, so I wrote these. Actually, I wrote the songs for the first Return to Forever album while I was with Circle. And we actually played some of those tunes with Dave and Anthony and Barry. So that was the idea. I wanted a groove music. I also wanted a vocalist that could put across a song, because I like to write. Mm-hmm. In fact, I'm going to try that again. I'm putting a new band together next year, and it won't start out with a vocalist, but I'll eventually have a vocalist in it.
Oh, superb!
Yeah, and it's got that same idea. I want to put a groove in, and I want to try different colors, and I love Spanish music and salsa music, because it's got that groove along with the jazz rhythm that I like.
This trio is a very exciting trio, with Brian Blade on drums and Christian McBride. I know you've had a long association with Christian, and I loved your playing of Tones for James Burns in 1996 of his album Number 2 Express. What's this trio like for you, because you do formulate the most beautiful trios?
Well, you have to listen. I haven't figured it out yet. Right. I know that we're just that they're two musicians that I totally admire and I get inspired by. Mm-hmm. So we're kind of piecing it together. This is our third concert of the tour.
Right.
And you know, we did another long tour a couple of years ago, so we have some track on this.
Okay.
And we're kind of jamming right now. We're trying some new pieces. Mm-hmm. I don't bother to evaluate what it's like while I'm doing it.
Chick Corea speaking to me just after the sound check of his concert, to which we now return. Christian McBride is on bass and Brian Blade on the drums, and they continue the set as the trio creates an infectious groove to introduce the Thelonious Monk composition Work, and just swing on through with great energy and verve. Thank you.
Thank you all very much. Thank you very much. You're a very nice audience to play for. We had a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun, that set. That last tune, by the way, was written by Thelonious Monk. It's called Work. That's right. Monk, okay.
You're listening to Jazz Lineup with me, Julian Joseph, and we're broadcasting the Chick Corea Trio from last year's London Jazz Festival. And at this point, Chick invites special guest Jackie Dankworth to sing after talking with great affection about her parents. And we have time to bring you one of the two pieces she sang with them. This is their lovely rendition of But Beautiful. Beautiful.
chance. And if you fall
A lovely intro and accompaniment from Chick for But Beautiful, featuring our very own Jackie Dankworth. Well, Chick and the guys return to the stage with their sparkly version of the Miles Davis composition, All Blues. And what an encore it was. Thank you.
Thank you all very, very much. You've been a great audience to play for. We enjoyed it very much. Brian Blade, Christian McBride, Chigaria, Jackie Dankworth. Thank you all.
All Blues, played by the Chick Corea Trio. Chick Corea played piano, Christian McBride the bass, and Brian Blade on drums, ending this concert from the Barbican as part of last year's London Jazz Festival. And what a highlight this particular concert was of that great festival. Jazz on 3 tomorrow night, and it's American trumpeter Wodada Leo Smith in concert with improvising brass and percussion ensembles featuring leading British improvisers including Byron Wallen and Steve Noble. That's Jazz on 3 tomorrow night. And join me next week for a tribute to Dave Brubeck and a concert recorded by Jazz Lineup in 2003 at the Bridgewater Hall in Manchester. Not one to miss. Till next week, from me, Julian Joseph, bye-bye.
Hello and welcome from me, Jonathan Swain. This is Through the Night here on BBC Radio 3. A pair of Radio 3's new generation artists provide the music making for this opening 50 minutes. The German violinist Veronica Eberle and the Swiss-Italian pianist Francesco Piemontesi. Both of them have graced the platform as concerto soloists, but they're equally at home in the more intimate world of chamber music, as they are here. Brahms from them later on, his first violin sonata. Before it, Veronica Eberle and Francesco Piemontesi in one of the finest of Mozart's violin sonatas, his K-454. The violin enjoying a brilliant parity with the keyboard. The piece often sounds like a finely wrought double concerto without orchestra.